Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
Bonjour, welcome to the Bubby Show. Viva la France. And of course, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, we saw the results of the French election. And of course, the centrist candidate won. So basically, the way I look at it is that the French decided to chicken out, and they're not willing to have as much of a revolt as we thought they were when we first talked about it. The interesting part of the show is that Marcon won, and won relatively easily, which means more of the same. And of course, the markets, I don't know, they didn't react one way or the other, basically. I mean, markets opened a little higher on Sunday night, and then, you know, just kind of dribbled lower. I think that, you know, basically it's a no big deal. So what we do know is that this will be a, this is a non-event. Now, there is no major shakeup one way or the other. It's simply just, you know, another blasé thing. And, you know, hey, you know, it is what it is. And that's one of the things we look at and try to judge. And so we're going to have no, I guess we'd say, it's almost like the Fed, no change in interest rates and no change in France, basically. And so, hey, let's see what it plays from here. You know, this week, again, we have markets that continue to be in La La Land. I think that was an Oscar movie, right? But, you know, that's just not really interested in going anywhere one way or the other. I think you're continuing to see the you know, a market that is looking and trying to find a reason to do something. That something is unknown to us as to what it's going to be that will finally drive the market in one direction or the other. The idea of what's going on is that basically nothing's going on. And we're going to continue to vacillate in an area of nothing. We are in Nowheresville. We are in La 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 La, you know. And so what's going to be the driving force now? And there is really no way to tell, you know, what will be the eventual driver that, you know, again, the market could break to the upside. So we're not saying that it can't. It's going to break one way or the other. This, you know, if you look at the last 10 days, we're just basically, we had bookends on 2 weeks ago, and then, you know, through Friday, you know, the two big days and then all the little crap in between. But in the meantime, we really have no range. The VIX is continuing to try to fall. And again, I think it's almost imminent that the new lows are going to be taken and made, you know, before we can see anything. And, you know, we saw, you know, some interesting things happen last week. We saw the markets churn, but we saw the breakdown in oil. And I think now you'll probably see a little bounce, you know, looking to get to, you know, about 45. About 48 or 50. I think that, you know, you've got, you know, gold will probably get a little bit of a bounce this week because, you know, again, when you look at it, you know, they were a little bit overdone to the downside. The dollar should probably bounce a little bit. But at the end of the day, there's really not a hell of a lot going on. At the end of the day, it's, you know, again, we're kind of on the search and on the wait to try to see, you know, what could potentially happen next. And that is something that, you know, we as, you know, traders or investors have to, you know, kind of monitor and wait for. But I mean, there are a lot of other things going on. And of course, the fear mongers are out again calling for the major collapse and, you know, tell them to go F off. You know, it's ridiculous. It's I'm really sick and annoyed by the idiots that do that, because it's not done for any other reason than to create the fear to get you to subscribe. And, you know, again, listen, I have subscription services myself, but I would never try to drive you in because you're afraid. I would drive you in because you want to learn, because you want to understand better how the markets work. And that, to me, is more important, is understanding how markets work versus understanding that some jagoff is trying to create you, put you in fear, and trying to prey on your emotion here. That to me is just a crock. And, you know, again, when we look at the bigger picture, it's a sad state of where we came to, but it's no different than anybody else, you know, that tries to create something, you know, it's create a market for something so that you can get involved in it because, you know, you've got some money to do it. And it's a bad deal. That's all I can tell you. But the emails are out flowing already about the end of the world. And, you know, here we never talk about the end of the world. We talk about different levels and what we can expect to see, you know, time over time. And that becomes a much bigger deal in the big scheme of life. And, you know, as we look at the Ponzi schemes around the globe, and, you know, make no mistake, they are Ponzi schemes. The central bank is a Ponzi scheme. The Fed is a Ponzi scheme, because again, when you continue to try to create new money to satisfy old debt, you are creating a Ponzi scheme. And of course, the Fed is apparently low on bullets to act. And that's where I think you see the bond markets really pushing hard to make effect change. And to me, that is something that you're going to continue to watch as the bigger markets take over. So there's a lot of things that, you know, that we'll see. And it's interesting, the timing, because, you know, we've had probably one of the worst trading markets for the past, you know, 6 or 7 months from a trading standpoint, not from, you know, an up or down, but that is an issue from a trader. And now we're going into what is usually the slowest time of the year, you know, into the summer. I mean, obviously it's only May, but we're getting to the summer. I mean, you know, Memorial Day is typically, you know, where markets start to get quiet, and, you know, the summer in the Hamptons and the vacations and the lackluster trading. And so, which is why the third quarter, you know, the end of the second and beginning of the third are usually a little quiet. And, you know, maybe it'll be different this year. Maybe there'll be some action here. And maybe that's what we're going to see, is when the market's going to make their move, when there's a little bit less volume, because Friday's volume was putrid and pathetic, especially when you look at the way the market's acted, and especially when you look at what the jobs number was. I mean, I don't make it that big a deal, because when you look at what's going on, which we'll talk more about later, but the overall jobs number was, you know, good, but not what you would think. And you know, these are all things that we'll discuss during the week. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, but remind you that LibertyTalk.fm is the place you need to go and check out and download the Bubba Show, as well as the Sporting Engine of the Weekends. This is the Bubba Show, Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back with Jane King after the break. The Bubba Show, Bubba Horowitz, coming right back to you. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one who brings good things to life, Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. And Well, Jane King, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know. It's hard to continue to talk about what's going on because there's not a lot going on. I know we had the healthcare kind of passed, but already the Democratic side of the aisle is already saying what a piece of crap it is. And I don't know. What did you think of it? I mean, I guess, you know, you're in it. You're right in there. What did you think of the whole thing?
Well, one thing that I've learned, and I mean, I've known this for a while, but I think it seems more true than ever, is you just have to read this stuff on your own. I mean, you cannot go to Twitter and get opinions about various bills. You cannot, you know, can't read the media and get opinions about it. I mean, there was, you know, there was talk about the no pre-existing conditions, and there was like some pre-existing conditions, and they put another $8 billion in. I mean, if you listen to the media about it, it sounds like, you know, everybody's going to die under this health care bill, which I'm sure is not the case. And it's just, I mean, it's just another piece of evidence of how insane this country is right now. I mean, people just can't be truthful about things and have an honest debate. I mean, everybody's got some kind of agenda. And it's depressing, and unfortunately, you know, average Americans just have to work harder to figure out what this stuff really is and what it means for their lives.
Well, now you, of course, are directly affected by this whole thing because you have Obamacare, and have you had a chance to look at what it is? How does it make sense? Does it make sense to you for your personal self?
Not so much. I mean, I don't have a pre-existing condition, and none of my family does. So that wasn't something that, you know, I was looking for on a personal level. Although I do think it's important to have that in coverage. I mean, I just, you know, who knows? I mean, people have issues, and I think, you know, they need health care too, probably more than most of us. So, you know, I mean, my main thing is I actually, you know, I've thought about the healthcare a lot and, like, you know, how should this be fixed? And I think, you know, there are a few things. I mean, you have to keep the profit incentive and the research and development. I mean, that's what makes the U.S. healthcare system the best in the world. I mean, that's why people come from all over to come here to get treatments. So, I mean, that has to remain intact. And if the government gets too involved, you know, I fear is that we're going to lose that part of it. And then I do like the pre-existing conditions part of it. And I'd like to see more free market implementation of it. I mean, one of my things is that, you know, it's just what I've gone through over the past few years with Obamacare. I've switched doctors a few times. I had finally had to switch to NYU because the doctor wasn't taking Obamacare anymore. And then NYU stopped taking it at the end of 2016. So I've got to find a new doctor this year that'll take Obamacare. I knew this was happening, so I did all of my physicals and everything in November and December last year so I could get it all taken care of before the coverage quit. But it's just that kind of stuff that's maddening. And I'm still getting bills from my insurance company telling me that I went to doctors that were not part of my coverage, even though they were. It ended at the end. So it's just confusing. I just spent 45 minutes on the phone dealing with this still months later. So, you know, my main thing is just, you know, let's make it simpler. Let's put a lot of preventative stuff in there. Let's put incentives for people to exercise and eat right and take care of themselves and make it more transportable. I mean, those are the main things. And you can choose your doctor. I mean, my doctor that I've been with for 16 years doesn't take it. So I had to find a new one. And I've had three doctors, I think, in the past 3 years. That's just
that sucks.
Terrible.
That's terrible.
It's
right. I mean, now, you know, I'm really upset about the non-free market of the healthcare. And what I'm saying is, you know, that, you know, what we've had up to this point is you've only got one insurer here, one insurer there. And of course, I don't believe that they're losing. I don't believe that the insurers are actually losing money. I just think they're not making as much as they want to make. So they say that they're losing money. But wouldn't it make sense just to let any insurance carrier go anywhere and make it a true competitive market? I mean, am I wrong?
Absolutely. No. I mean, for example, Cigna. So when I was with Bloomberg, who's located in New York, I had Cigna dental insurance and I love them. I had to pay for my dentist up front, but, you know, I'd have a form printed out and everything. I'd mail it to him the next day. Within a week or 10 days, I had a check from Cigna and I just love them. And so then when I had to get insurance on my own, I called them. Well, they don't sell them to individuals in New York, even though I had it with Bloomberg. And, you know, it's just stuff like that that just seems so ridiculous. It's like, why can't I have Cigna dental insurance? I mean, they're great. And who's stopping this? And it just seems like there is some kind of nameless, faceless bureaucrat in Albany who's trying to, you know, figure out how to regulate everything. And And it just, you know, it's, I mean, what do you say? I mean, that's the one thing I'd do if I was ever elected to office would be, you know, create more of a free market with the insurance companies and let them be able to go state to state. I mean, without all the petitioning and everything that they have to do.
I mean, isn't that what this whole country was built on, was the ability to have free markets and not have to worry about all these little things that go on? And I think that creates, to me, the bigger problems. I think the bigger animosities come because we've got all these, you know, everybody fiddling around with things, trying to get their own share out of it. Yet if you just let everything work, then we wouldn't have as many problems. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think people are scared of free markets. They don't, you know, somebody has a bad experience, you know, or a little bit of pain, and government has to come rush in and fix it. And it ends up, you know, adding layers of bureaucracy. It ends up complicating everything. It ends up hurting more people than it actually helps. And I just think that's what we're in right now. It's just, you know, lawmakers feel like they have to take care of everybody instead of letting people kind of figure it out on their own and take care of themselves. I mean, that was what built this country, and we've lost that.
No, and I mean, it's maddening from, you know, from all perspectives. And what I find maddening is that a lot of the, I'll call them the cheerleading pundits that continue to try to talk up the market. And again, I have no problem with the market goes up or down. I mean, I know it's going to go both, and I know over time it's going to go higher. But, I mean, we don't have a lot of exciting things going on right now. We don't have great growth, and you may have full employment, but it certainly are not good jobs. And I just don't see what everybody else is seeing. I don't see that great a recovery that we're talking about, because I still see the average person still struggling, and I don't see a lot of good jobs. And I know that in today's world, we have the highest in history percentage of people that are over 65 that are coming on the employment roll, which means that they can't retire, mm-hmm. which means there's more of a problem. And I think that is an issue. What do you think about all that?
Well, I think if we're really going to make a huge structural change in the economy, like the president seems to want to do. I mean, tax reform and just some of the regulations gone away. I mean, this stuff has been building up for a long time, and, you know, it's going to take time, and there's a lot of resistance. I mean, he's a tough guy. He's going to have to be really tough and have some strong people around him to be able to get all this stuff done, because everybody's just used to it. They're complacent with, you know, all the things that we have right now. But you're right. I mean, I just did a story this week, a study that men who entered the workforce in 1983 versus 1967, the later ones entering the workforce have seen a 10 to 19% drop in their lifetime earnings. So, I mean, people are feeling it. And this is, by the way, all the time why the government's supposed to be coming in and fixing things. So, you know, I don't think, like, you know, government solutions are really, you know, they don't really work. I mean, they seem to quickly, and they make everybody feel better for a time, but in the long run, the country's hurt because of it.
Well, and I guess that's my real question. Does the government really make you feel better, or do they give you the appearance that they're trying to make you feel? It's like this debt ceiling thing. Now, again, I let the government shut down. I mean, that would be me. I just don't want to see them raise again, because it's just, why don't they have to live on a budget like you and me? I don't get it.
Well, and I think the party system too has a lot to do with it. Like, there are things, people will just hate Donald Trump, and they won't even listen to anything he says. And they just, you know, no matter what. I mean, I know people who won't, in New York, who won't even say his name. They won't even utter his name. And I mean, it's like, if you can't even say his name, I mean, how are you ever going to objectively actually listen to a policy and go, you know what, I don't like that, or I do like that, or I like parts of it. I mean, everybody's just overly emotional, way too crazy, and they need to just settle down and go, okay, you know, maybe there's some things here that actually make sense, and think a little bit, and not just be like, well, I'm a Democrat, and I voted that way my whole life, and I just don't like him. I'm not going to listen to anything. And there's too much of that out there on both sides. So, you know, that's a problem. And, you know, I don't know how I hope the next generation is more mature about this than the current generation is.
And those are their financial words, according to the Kaching Report. Jane King, Lila Max Media. You're awesome. As always, thank you so much for being on the show, Jane.
Thanks, Todd.
And that was our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Kaching Report. And of course, you know that you have to go to libertytalk.fm to get the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, tomorrow night, We start our new futures class, day trading futures. If you're interested, like to look at it, go to BubbaTrading.com and check it out. We're going to step out here for a break and come back with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research after the break. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Chalady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, Matt Demeter, The Bubba Show's expert and analyst from DemeterResearch.com. And Matt, I'll tell you, it's been a miserable trading from a trading standpoint. And I'm not talking about winning or losing. I'm talking about the action has been absolutely brutal. And Friday was, I think, the culmination of the ugliest. And only because when I looked at the volume of the Dow futures, they did 98,000 contracts, which they typically do about 150. So if you tie that into a jobs day and you do 98,000 with a late day explosion, to me, it just, forget about what it did. Just, it was just ugly trade. What did you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, well, all week was just chop. It was just a sideways, you know, sort of affair. And Friday we ended right at for me, we the Dow in particular ended just slightly above where I had resistance. So it's not real clear whether or not it got through far enough that we have more upside now, or if it's ready to turn back down. It went a little bit too, if in my work it went a little too far, but it could still work to where we have resistance. So we'll see.
You know, I mean, it's kind of hard to get a real strong opinion here, especially when you have declining volume. I mean, again, I both know one thing. When they say mark to market, it doesn't matter what the volume was. That's what the mark is. But at the end of the day, we know that light volume is never good and usually doesn't lead to things too good afterwards. Correct?
Well, that's, I mean, yeah, light volume on an up move tends to say it's a weaker move. But I don't pay that much attention to volume. I'm just more looking at the price patterns. But it's not real convincing.
Yeah, so I mean, it doesn't matter. Like I said, it can go higher, and I think you apparently believe that we can still go higher and still remain in these bearish patterns.
I do. I mean, I think, you know, for the S&P in particular, we have a pretty good lateral pattern that I was originally pointing to 2405, and we got to 2401 back on March 1st, and now we're almost, you know, back at that level again. And, you know, I was thinking we could go, you know, at least my base case was 2405. We can go up to 2422-ish is where I have I could extend it to. If we break above that, if we break above 2422, then I think we can go all the way up to 2500, a little bit beyond. So another 100 points higher. I'm not suggesting that's necessarily going to happen, but when I go through all the charts that I look at, one that bothers me is the NASDAQ. That's seemingly already broken out of its bearish pattern. It's not totally for sure because it's not the cleanest pattern, but I think it may have. And if that's the case, then it can run all the way to 6,400 something. So I'm seeing potentially another, you know, another say 3% there in the NASDAQ. I'm seeing maybe another 3% in the NYSE, and that's the one that's NYSE Composite's the one with the clearest pattern that says it hasn't been completed. It's a declining target, but it's still about 3% higher.
So, I mean, and how much is that dropping every day or every week?
It's a good question. It's not dropping that fast. It's dropping maybe 0.1% per week, let's say.
Okay. Well, no, because what I'm saying is that, you know, if you actually look at the chart, right, since we had those, the blow-offs back-to-back, you know, those, the Monday and Tuesday were up 200. I mean, basically, we've been in consolidation. And in fact, if you look at the Monday gap up and you put it with Friday's rally, you've got bookends. You've got almost the entire trading time was inside of that on the S&P. So, you know, that would indicate that we could make a bigger move. So if the pattern was declining at a faster pace, it could mean that we were getting close to the top anyways, even though it looks like it might could go higher.
Yeah, no, I think we, you know, it's really just a question now of this, to me, of fine tuning where tops are going to happen. You know, I thought that this top, because we had nice tops in the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ in March, early March, I thought, you know, the NYSE Composite hadn't reached its target, and it is a declining line. So it's declining relatively quickly. So I thought, well, you know, we can wait on it. We can hit it at a lower level at a later time. If we just wait a few months, then it'll be lower than where we already peaked in March. So that was my thinking then. I'm still bearish. It's just, the way things are looking, it looks like we could, you know, push a little bit higher, but I'm not getting long. I'll put it that way. We're just waiting for the best opportunities to short.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, the bottom line is at this point in time, I mean, it's hard to want to be a buyer, which is probably one of the reasons that it could be still pushing up a little bit, is because obviously, you know, a lot of the bigger money understands that. And a lot of the bigger money is short right now. And sucking wind. But of course, we know they're not naked short. They're, you know, they own equities anyway, so they're just short, you know, on top of that. But that's one of the problems, I think, right? When you have a market that refuses to break down at all, you've got the markets that will continue to try to stroke higher because it's just they haven't found a real reason to break yet. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I just know so far we haven't seen any real catalyst for a good breakdown. Not that we necessarily need one. I mean, you know, sometimes you don't really need a catalyst. Things just get so, you know, overbought and overvalued that, you know, they really don't need, you know, a reason to peak. You know, just last month, the March margin debt figures came out, and they came out in another new record high. There isn't a lot of cash out there, and valuations are stretched. So super stretched. I mean, we've only been higher twice in history, which was 1929 and 2000. So
right, which simply means that we're a lot closer to a beatdown, but of course, you know, trying to exact that beatdown right now, you know, obviously you've got to sometimes suffer through some of the stuff that goes through it, or you sit down and you sit on the sidelines watching it, and that's, you know, we talk about observation all the time. And of course, we saw crude take a pretty big beatdown last week. What's your take on crude now?
Yeah, that was good. Well, you've been bearish on crude, and we both have been, and we got down to my target, which was roughly in the 44 range. I went a little bit. It had a spike low on a Thursday night, which was a little bit lower than what I was looking for. I think it was about 43.70, but I think that was probably a good bottom. I think that we're probably going to bounce from here. We might come back and revisit a little bit, you know, towards the 44 end. The only thing that I'm upset about is that we didn't have a buy order. We didn't have an order sitting there at midnight on Thursday, ready to go. So we would have gotten long at 44. But I think from here we're going to get a bounce. I think we'll bounce higher.
All right. Now are you looking for? Are you looking for this to be the general bottom for a longer term, or are you looking for a short term bounce?
I'm looking more for a short term bounce. I mean, I think oil is in secular decline, which we've talked about it. But I think long term oil is eventually going down to, you know, $10-$20 per barrel. And that's a lot to do with the demand side of the equation when we talk about electric cars and stuff. But that's many. Still many years away.
Oh, so you're thinking, I was going back into the old days when we didn't care about oil because it was only $10 a barrel.
Right. No, yeah. I mean, if you look at cost curves, electric cars should be cost competitive with gas-powered cars in just 3 years, 2 or 3 years, and then total cost of ownership will actually be cheaper for electric cars. So I figure at that point, that'll be sort of the final nail in the coffin for oil. But for a short term, you know, I think, yeah, we're going to get a good bounce here. The highest I can see us going, I still have a target at, it's still in the 60s. It's in a 62, 63 zone right now, and it's declining 50 cents per week. So we could go that high. But I think the high 50s are going to be a tough place to punch through. Right now, I'm just looking for the mid 50s for another top.
All right, well, I'm looking closer than that. I'm looking at like 50 as a top. I'm looking actually 48 first and then 50. And of course, I'll look to sell it. I just think that, you know, again, I'm with you on from a fundamental standpoint. Technicals, you know, obviously, maybe it's just I want to be short it still, but I was happy to cover and get out and actually take a stab to the long side on Friday morning. As it had that little bit of a blow off right before the jobs number, but just a lot of things, you know, here that are going on, and we got about 20 seconds here. Anything real quick that stands out before we go to break?
No, nothing in particular. I still like the pound, I guess it would be a good buy, but,
Yeah, I would think that. I mean, I agree with you there. I think the pound looks pretty good. I think the euro might be getting overdone, but we'll talk about that more and more when we come back from the break with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. He is the Bubba Show expert, the technical analysis, and he's got his own breed of special things, so it's always good to get his views. And, of course, we're going to step out here for a break. But in the meantime, make sure you check out the Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm. You can download that every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. In the meantime, we'll step out here for a break, and we'll be right back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, our expert who keeps us in line and tells us what to do. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And, of course, he is the Bubba Show technical analyst expert. And, Matt, you know, I know that, you know, you and I have talked about this many times, and I cut you off before you told me, but there is one more thing that you really like. And go ahead and take it away, young man.
Well, you said what stands out. I was thinking about that. Silver, I think, is probably a very good buy here. Super oversold on short-term indicators. It's been down 16 days in a row. It's been down 12% over that time. It's just been pushed lower and lower and lower. We are at short-term supports that come in, the high 15s and the low 16s. It's a good buy here. We're getting long silver, so that should be good for a pretty good bounce. Probably not a long-term bottom, but a good short-term bounce should come out of here. Probably at least a dollar of upside.
Now, were you surprised at the way that gold got kind of pummeled last week?
Well, gold fared actually better than silver, but because silver just beat the heck out of. But gold, I wasn't surprised. We were bearish on gold, and we were actually short gold and long. We were first short gold, and then we started getting long silver, and we used that gold short as sort of a hedge. Now I think on indicators, it's oversold as well, short-term indicators, and I think we're going to get a bounce out of both of them. So we'll probably take the gold short off, and we'll likely see a bounce out of both metals. And if we get back up towards the highs we were seeing in gold, we'll put the short back on. I don't think the medium term I don't think is over for the downside.
All right. And of course, you know, we saw the dollar continues to get punished and the euro pushed up over 110. What's your take on the euro? You think it's got some more room to the upside, or do you think this is about it for now?
I think it has more room to the upside. It's definitely overbought on daily indicators. We were long and it has broken out of some bearish patterns. I'd love to get long again on a pullback. I hate buying into strength. We definitely buyers on a pullback. I think it's going to 114, 115. So even if we bought here at about, 110 or just about 110, I think we would do pretty well with it.
Really? So you don't look for a little bit of a sell-off first? You do look for just to continue to go from here?
No, I mean, look, we'll wait for a pullback, and if we don't get it, then I guess we'll be out of the trade. But I'm just saying, if we did go ahead and buy here, I think even if we did get a pullback against us, we would still do all right, because I do think eventually, as I said, roughly 114 is where I think it's trying to get to. That's the target, and that lines up with where we're thinking, because it makes such a big percentage of the dollar index. Dollar index looks like it's headed down to 90. We have a rising target line there, which is at 95.7. So that lines up pretty well with our target in the dollar. At 95.7, we'd be buying the dollar index. And at 114 euro, we'd be achieving our targets to the upside.
All right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. So, we've covered and talked about, the livestock markets and, of course, the cattle finally, I think, had the final blow off. It was up limit back to back. And on Thursday came down off a limit and closed down the limit on Friday. I say that that cattle is now done. What do you say? Because you have your own method. So what do you say?
Mm-hmm. We were looking for a minimum target. I keep going back to the cow ETF because it's easiest for me to use. We were looking for 25.35 as our minimum target. We hit it and went slightly past. So now we should, it's very overbought. We should get a pullback. I'm not sure that the upside's over. What I think we're going to do is we're going to pull back to where we were basing for, the prior, since the beginning of the year, when you average both meets together, and then we'll run back up for another move to the upside. But for right now, I'm bearish as well. Short term, I'm definitely bearish. Longer term, we'll see if support holds on the downside.
Yeah, no. I mean, again, obviously, I'm looking for obviously a short term trade. I mean, the fact of the matter is that I'm very bullish, pretty much the entire livestock and grain space longer term. Just in here, obviously, looking for a sell-off, and I think that I thought hogs. I'd called for 70, low in hogs to be a buyer, and of course, it got down to 68. But now, they're pushing up against 78. So I think that was, pretty easy, and I think that hogs are probably, now in that range, but now heading higher. What do you think about those?
Hogs, yeah, hogs could go higher. They're not nearly as overbought as cattle, and they're at a 60 RSI. They got room to the upside. If I was to play both, I would go long hogs and I would go short cattle.
So you want to eat ribs and burn hamburgers. So that's
it. Yeah.
So now, we've got, the grains have been extremely interesting and quite volatile. But I think in relative terms, I look at those as kind of cheap where they're at, and but I know you have a better read from the technical side. What's the look I can in the grain space?
Well, still bearish on soybeans. Corn's kind of somewhere in the middle, and wheat bullish. Wheat broke out of a declining resistance pattern that I have and came back down to the top side of it and has bounced. So wheat looks good. I'm not a big greens, I don't trade it very much, but I'd be interested now possibly in buying wheat And but I would, if I did that, I probably would go ahead and short soybeans.
All right. Well, I mean, that makes sense. Now, what about, you know, I know you've been looking at some of the funds and things like that. Anything, you know, in the equity space that, you know, you think that needs to be bought or sold? Are you looking at anything special?
You mean the ETFs or individual stocks?
Well, I know some of the ETFs you looked at. I know you wanted to sell that Wisdom Tree Fund, I think. You were talking about it. I know if you did it or not, but I know you were talking about it. And, you know, some of the other things that, you know, obviously you see because you cover the markets basically worldwide.
Sure, sure. Well, that Emerging Market Bonds Fund, I think maybe is something that I was talking about. It's right at resistance. It's pushed actually a little bit beyond. So I'm a little bit, we'll see what it's going to do next. When I look at emerging markets in general, the equity side, emerging markets look like they've broken out of a bearish pattern. They should be headed up to 43 now, that ETF EEM.
Okay.
We're under 41 right now. So I think there's some short-term resistance at 41. Then we have final target resistance at a declining target about 43. It's declining relatively slowly, so there's time to get up there. I don't want to be bearish everything. So if I was to be bullish something, probably it'd be bullish EEM.
You can be bearish everything. It's okay. I know you just read the charts. So if the charts are bearish, so what? This as we come towards the end here on silver, how do you play silver? Do you play the futures or do you play it through the ETFs? How do you play that?
Well, I do play it through the futures and ETF, but if you just want to be in the metal, but you get more levered gains obviously out of the silver miners. You have sort of an illiquid ETF SIL for the silver miners. I like that one, but it's illiquid. Then you have some of the premier silver names like First Majestic Silver, which is good. But I like a small cap. It's called Avino Silver and Gold Mines. It's ASM is a symbol. It says they're very low cost producer in silver. And I think they have a pretty good future. So
cool.
Well, the chart looks good.
That's what we need from you, Matt Demeter. We need to have good looking charts, and we need to get these markets to move, and hopefully they'll we'll get out of this ridiculously tight lack of action range. But Matt, as always, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
It's always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
And of course, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. That was Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Check out his website. I mean, you'll see some great stuff, and he writes a great newsletter every week. And I urge everybody just to take a look at it, DemeterResearch.com. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download of the show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Turn the noise down. Let this old world.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.